First, I want to welcome those people who usually go to the 8 o'clock service. We're glad that you joined us today on the occasion of our annual meeting. I have always been inspired by the story of the calling of the disciples, even from a young age. It paints a picture by the Galilean seashore of Jesus walking along the beach among the fishermen and the boats and the nets. And you can almost smell the fish and the sea air, sand in your shoes. It is warm. Next, before we know it, the story gives us a start. What would it be like, I wonder, to drop everything and with total abandon, without a thought or a backward glance, follow Jesus at his simple beckoning? We could all begin to speculate about whether it really happened that way, but just for this morning, let's not do that and consider what the story means to tell us. It is so different from our experience and expectations when we call or hire someone for a position. The brothers working side by side do not go shower up or put on their best clothes. They don't wash their hands and make sure their fingernails are clean. They don't practice a firm handshake or good eye contact. Nor does Jesus ask them in an interview about their education, their abilities, or past experience. There was no criminal background check, no credit check. What skills do they bring to this position? What are their strengths and weaknesses? Jesus does not ask about their growing edges. For Simon and Andrew, John and James, for their part, there is no job description, no itinerary or agenda. The disciples do not know what the expectations are. They are given no assurance of success or reward or compensation, nor duration of this calling. Yes, I think it is difficult for us to imagine this sort of transaction at all. Impulsive and foolhardy, it seems. But I wonder if the story speaks to us today, perhaps, of being too careful by contrast. Overly cautious, always counting the cost, almost to the point of inaction or paralysis. Perhaps we count the cost too much. And in our attempts to have control and some kind of backup plan or savings account, life's opportunities and callings pass us by. Yet some of the best things and the most important things that have happened in my life have happened because I did not count the cost, or I simply naively did not know the cost, and that was a good thing. Because if I had known the cost and sacrifice required ahead of time, I would not have agreed to go forward. Yes, these are the best things, or if not the best, sometimes painful things that in retrospect were extraordinarily important on this journey. They happened in those rare moments when I did not count the cost nor calculate accurately the risks. The best things in your life also come with no guarantees. Marriage, for example, bringing a child into the world, even a family trip, or opening your home or heart to someone in need. You might attempt to count the costs, only to find there is no way of knowing ahead of time. We would be better off to assume that the cost of following Jesus will be everything. It will cost everything. All of your time, all of your love, all of your security, everything. In the words of the song, "Climb Every Mountain in the Sound of Music," the Reverend Mother sings, "A dream that will take all the love you can give every day of your life for as long as you live. We might adjust our thinking then and know that following Jesus will be risky. It will demand much. Of course, we can pull out of this arrangement at any time, because after all, we are people of free will. But perhaps we need to ask, what is the cost of that? What is the cost of not following Jesus? A life unlived, unfulfilled, a waste of time and gifts unrealized, saying no to relationship and to grace, to this beloved community. What is the cost of that, I ask you? Instead, life is about rising to the occasion over and over again, rising up and following thee, come what may, cost what it will, often with no measurable outcome. Here at home, year on year, we ask people to serve as senior warden or junior warden. I've never had someone respond by saying, "Why, yes, I would be good at that. It's about time someone asked me, talented as I am." No, the response is usually wondering if you are up to the task, if you are capable enough, even if others will accept you in that role. I invite those former senior wardens and junior wardens to affirm this to the new ones. Tell them how you felt when you were asked. I am grateful that in spite of your fears or misgivings, your feelings of inadequacy, you said yes. And year after year, people do say yes. For my part, I won't falsely assure you that it will be easy, only necessary, and that I am so very grateful for your service and your leadership. Of course, it is not just the vestry. There are so many things that need to be done. Together, we work to do something beautiful for God. A few days ago, I was working on the parochial report, which is a report we do every year and send to the National Episcopal Church. Our average Sunday attendance is up by 15% from this time last year. We are a growing church that could double in membership in 5 years, even while most churches are struggling with shrinking numbers. We could double. Can you picture that? You might say, "Well, I kind of like St. Luke's the way it is," which is fair. It's just that this community is so blessed, and as a blessing, it is to be shared. St. Luke's is sorely needed in this world. You are needed in this world. Many things of necessity would change if we doubled or tripled in size. Likewise, many things will change if we don't. What blessings, I wonder, relationships, grace and talent and vision lie just beyond us, to be encountered in those people who are yet to come here, those who are waiting to be called, to be asked, to be invited. There are so many ways when we rise up that our lives are enriched. The meaning of this gospel story today is not that Jesus calls his disciples by saying, "Follow me," but that they, those 12, fishermen and a tax collector, a zealot and a ne'er-do-well, they did it, leaving net and boat and father and security and income and all they had known. Without so much as a backward glance, they answered the call. We can surmise the disciples didn't even speak and say, "Yes, yes, we will follow you." Nor did they sign a contract. They simply started walking, falling in, walking in step beside the Savior.